Josette Detour, and you're listening to Get Trekked on KBOO Radio. This time around, Ryan, Godiva, and, well, me, are gonna hang out, play some Star Trek trivia quizzes. You are welcome to join us and get royally pissed at how little we know about Star Trek. Or how little, really how little I know about Star Trek. Yeah, and if you have any corrections you'd like to give us, write them on a little note. Put it in your pocket, and we'll come pick it up immediately. Thank you, and enjoy the episode.
Hey, Josie.
Hmm?
You're back for another episode of Get Trekked with me, Godiva Lee.
And me, Josette Detour.
And?
Ryan J. Castro is here, just fucking around in the background.
Hey! All right, cool. Word. We got it. That's all I wanted to do. Get that out of the way.
Sorry, I forgot. I need coffee, too. Yeah. So, what are we doing today, guys? Nothing?
Yeah, nothing. That's it. Show's over. Mission accomplished.
I have a speech prepared about marginal exchange rates.
Yeah,
let's
go for it.
Let's jump right into that.
You have to follow it up now. We're waiting.
Yeah, we're all.
Nope.
Fuck you.
You called my bluff.
Damn, I was so excited to.
Does anybody remember Quizilla?
Yes. Is that still a thing? Hold on, let me look.
I think that was, yeah. Is it still alive?
No, it's dead.
It started as like you could make quizzes and stuff, and it got hijacked by a bunch of girls writing fan fiction for like bands and stuff, and like you would have to,
the next chapter
was like you would choose an answer to the not question and it would take you to the next chapter. Like, it was so bad.
Wow.
What a weird form of media.
It was...
The internet's a fascinating place.
I love it. Big old trash heap, and I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of trash heaps, today we're going to be maybe taking some Star Trek-themed quizzes online, because that's the sort of content we decided we were doing today, and hopefully everybody enjoys that.
If you don't, fuck you.
Which Cardassian are you?
Obviously, I am... Garrick.
Ah, I think Godiva's Damar.
Yeah, I can see that.
You're an alcoholic?
Yeah, I'm borderline alcoholic, but at the same time, ready to start a revolution, you know? That's pretty much me.
Yeah.
And my lips are okay,
too. And you're both somehow connected to Casey Biggs.
Well, somehow, just because I like
somehow.
Him.
Just
because
just,
I think
just
he's
because.
Hot. That's the only connection I have. I met him once at a bar, and I was like,
I think he owns a vineyard now.
Yeah, he does, and his commercials are fucking ridiculous and sexy at the same time. I don't know how he does it.
Where's the vineyard?
California, I think. But that's a pretty easy guess.
Here? Is it here?
Is it? Are you?
You mean the U.S. or like?
No, like I live in wine country. I live in the Napa Valley, so is it here in the Napa Valley?
There. Yeah, probably. That's where the celebrities own their vineyards.
God, no. Okay. Paso Robles wine. Robles? Peso Robles.
Hold on. Let me look it up now.
He's the Peso wine man in the commercials. Robles.
What's the winery called?
Don't make me say it again.
No.
Peso Robles. Robles. That's all it says. That's who he works for.
Peso Robles, Casey Biggs.
Guaranteed every episode I'm going to thirst for Casey Biggs for at least 5 minutes. That's just a given at this point.
You know, if Casey Biggs came out with a wine called Canar, I would totally buy like 10 bottles.
So would I.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have a fucking party based around it. Weekly, probably. For the podcast. Can I do that as a write-off?
Canar Party. Canardi. Yeah.
Canardi!
Canardi. I'm watching Casey Biggs' trailer right now, and I'm really uncomfortable with them. Just all of what's happening on the screen right now.
Why?
I just don't know. I don't like how he's looking at the camera. I feel like he sees me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I love watching them.
Oh, God.
I know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I've thirsted for Casey Biggs. We've hit my 5-minute mark. Let's
move. You only get one Casey Biggs reference per episode.
Oh, God, that man. All right. I'm done. I know.
Okay. So.
You know, so can I digress a bit?
Yeah. Go for it, please.
All right. So it's pretty similar. I've noticed since the last time we recorded this, that a lot of women find Cardassians really, really attractive.
Yeah. Not.
I had no idea why. I didn't even know this was a thing until like maybe 3 weeks ago.
The lizard fuckers.
Yeah, they really like fascist lizards.
Where'd you find that out?
Oh, just online. People talking about it. Saying how hot they found Ducat or Demar. Quizzes about it. There was actually an article in a magazine that was like, surprise sex symbol, Mark Alimo. With pictures of him in his Cardassian makeup all over.
Is he, though?
I didn't write the article.
No.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
I've seen people walking around conventions with, like, Cardassian tattoos.
Yeah.
And stuff.
The Cardassian symbol?
Casey Biggs. What? Yeah.
The Cardassian symbol?
Yeah.
Well, that's their shit, I guess.
I guess. You do you, as long as you don't annoy me.
Me! Get that away from me!
What is that?
Oh, this is just a screenshot I have of the magazine with Mark Alimo, the unlikely sex symbol.
Because you were so taken back, you're like, I need a picture of this as proof that it happened.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so I've been looking up quizzes, and I found what The Guardian calls the toughest Star Trek film quiz in the known universe. Should we take it? Are we up to the task?
No, but let's do it anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Our failures will be
documented
for future generations to laugh at. It's sick. We almost like we have to do it at this point.
Well, yeah. Okay. Question one. What was the name of Khan's ship?
Which one? The one that...
Great question.
Was it the one that he was frozen on, or was it the one that he fought the Enterprise in?
He had a lot of ships.
Because one was Botany Bay. It was probably Botany Bay.
The options are Regula 1, the Delta Flyer, SS Botany Bay, and IKS Gorkon.
Yeah, it's the Botany Bay.
Are you sure it's not Gorkon? That's the tiniest joke in the world. Just go ahead. Go forward.
He named his ship after...
Oh, that was a joke?
It's about that
after
big.
After a race he never met.
Botany Bay was correct, apparently.
Good job. Go team. We're doing it.
So Ryan's going to take this quiz and we're just going to watch, basically. What is the name of the ritual Vulcans undergo to prove themselves purged of all emotions?
This is not the hardest quiz. This is just to get someone to click on it, thinking, oh, I can beat this hard Star Trek quiz just so they can get some page views on their ads. This is like written
and
by
they,
someone.
They succeeded.
I guess they did. And we might as well just go through the rest of the quiz since we've already clicked on it.
They went to the trivia page in the Star Trek movies and they're like, yeah, that's good.
But the funny part is I don't know the answer to this question, so...
What, the ritual? It's Ponfar.
Yeah. No, no, that's
no,
the...
No,
oh, no.
To
no.
Purge emotion from the first movie.
Oh, that one. Okay.
It is... What's
it's
it?
The... It starts with a K, I think.
Kalinar.
Is it the Kobayashi Maru? That
no.
sounds right.
No. No. What?
No, that's the...
Go
that's
down.
The
what are the options? I'll know it when I hear it.
Kolinar.
Kolinar,
yeah,
that's
it.
Kolinar?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep, that was it. Okay. Where would one be most likely to find Commander Scott on a pub crawl?
At a strip club killing hookers.
Wow, you got it. the options were Edinburgh, Aberdeen, Glasgow, or the Balmoral Castle.
Wouldn't he be at home reading technical manuals?
Yeah, well, they're specifically saying he's off on a pub crawl.
I want to say Glasgow because Glasgow parties hard, but it might be Edinburgh. I don't know where Commander Scott is from.
Is this an actual question like that's been answered?
This is
in the
an
series?
Actual question that's been. I don't know.
Or are they just like, what's your opinion? What do you?
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, we can break it down.
Okay. What are the options again?
It wouldn't be a castle.
It wouldn't be.
No.
Who wouldn't? Well, I wouldn't want to party in a castle. They're drafty.
I would love to party in a castle.
If we had a space heater.
Well, let me just get you a space blanket and you can walk around with it.
Okay. A really big fur coat and I'm good.
Yeah. Well, that's why they had fur coats back in the day, because they're drafty castles.
They didn't know what central heating was. Those heathens.
So they just had them. Yeah. It wouldn't be Aberdeen, because that's in Australia.
What if he's on vacation?
Because it said, it's not Aberdeen.
Okay, I'm guessing Glasgow.
I would guess Glasgow, right? Too. But Aberdeen's okay. In Scotland also.
Is there?
Yeah, I think the Aberdeen in Australia is named after Scotland.
Okay. It was Aberdeen. I was wrong.
Ah, okay.
God damn it.
Why would he be in Aberdeen?
I don't know.
Does he have family there?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Okay, next question. What is the name of the frozen Klingon prison planet in Star Trek The Undiscovered Country?
Was it Rurapinte?
That's on there, so I'm going to click it, and you were right.
Hey!
What brand of beer do Captain Kirk and Jillian drink at the pizza parlor in Star Trek The Voyage Home?
God, for a second I thought you meant Bashir, and I was like, did they meet?
That'd be awesome, but no.
Okay, what type of beer? Just like a...
It's a Miller Lite. It gives Budweiser, Michelob, Miller Lite, and Coors Lite as options.
Michelob, I'm pretty sure.
Michelob?
It's like, I'm like 75%, maybe 50%.
Ryan, any input?
About 25%.
I really only vaguely remember the scene. It was more like they were talking about the future and stuff like that. Oh, man. Nah, I don't remember what beer they got.
If we were to guess, I want to say Miller Lite. Or maybe Budweiser, I don't know. All bad beers.
They really are. But yeah, just go with Michelob.
Okay. And that was right.
Yes!
Hey, I got one.
So far we have 1, 2, 3, 4 right and 1 wrong. Who was the captain of the USS Kelvin? The options are Captain Richard Robow, Captain Mackenzie Calhoun, Larkskinne the Silver, and Captain Rachel Garrett. All of those names I do not know.
That's weird.
Is this from the alternate original?
It's probably from the original, because I remember in the alternate, the USS Kelvin was the one that Kirk's dad was flying, and he smashed into Nero's ship with it. But it was probably based on another ship from the original universe. Which, I don't know.
I feel like it's Richard Robow.
Because it's a good name, or?
I don't know. If it's the original series, I don't know if a woman is a captain in the original series very often. It's just more like an educated guess.
Oh, that reminds me of the horrible last episode of Star Trek. I wasn't...
Wait. Okay, I remember the Trek movie better now. The captain went over to Nero's ship, and then Nero killed him, and then George Kirk became the captain. But the captain first was like, he was a darker-skinned guy.
Okay, so there's only one man's name on the list, so I guess we're going to go with that one. And it was right.
Okay.
Yay.
Patriarchy rules the party, ruins the party again. Okay, what species is Keen Sir?
The tiny guy that's alongside Scotty in the newer movies.
Oh, I love that guy.
Is he a Gorn, an Andorian, a Zenkethi, or a Roylan?
It's one of the last two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the Zenkethi.
That sounds good.
Why not?
Roiland.
Oh.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Damn.
All right. Anyway, hey, what's the next question on that quiz?
Okay. When Vegar sends the Ilya probe back to the Enterprise, where is she discovered? Near the warp core, in a sonic shower, sick bay, or Kirk's ready room?
Kirk's ready room, right? I think.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Sonic shower.
No.
Motherfucker. Why is she in a shower? Gratuitous sex scene or gratuitous nudity scene?
Probably. Okay. What drink does Dr. McCoy order at the bar before trying to charter a flight to Genesis Planet? Was it Altair water, Aldebaran whiskey, Saurian brandy, or Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster?
That one! I like that one.
That one's from Hitchhiker's Guide.
I'm just gonna go with that one. I know it's wrong, but it sounds great.
I'm pretty sure it's the whiskey, but I'm gonna put the Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster.
No way! Oh, we're gonna fail the quiz. We're gonna lose our creds.
Wait, don't listen to her.
We're gonna lose our credentials.
I already did it. it was Altair water.
Altair water.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pan-Galactic Gargle Blaster should be a real drink.
I'm going to make it.
I feel like that's the sort of drink that's like frozen whiskey and they just stuff it in your mouth and you just have to sit there and just have it there. I don't know. Just something really uncomfortable.
It sounds like a really intricate like sex move, I feel like.
How would one accomplish that?
I feel like it has something to do with shoving with something in a throat.
Oh.
Shoving, yeah. Gargle blaster.
Mm-hmm. Gargle balls.
Yeah.
Well,
obviously.
Pan-Galactic because it's fucking amazing for some reason, and you're like, I don't know, ooh, scene stars.
Well, good night, everybody.
That's all, folks. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, man. We're almost done.
Good, because we're crashing and burning, so it's, we're not doing great on this quiz.
Before Kirk, Spock, and Bones settle on Row, Row, Row Your Boat, mm-hmm. Which of the following songs do they not sing? Camptown Races, Lake of Altair Prime, Pack Up Your Troubles, or Moon Over Rigel? Pack Up Your Troubles? Lakes of Altair Prime.
Fuck!
We didn't do
as great as we thought.
Was that okay?
That was it.
We suck.
12 out of 20 for us on this.
That's
one.
Not too bad. I mean,
it's not awful.
If they said hardest quiz ever, that's probably pretty good. We got above 50%.
And that was us playing some quizzes. I hope you enjoyed that and aren't too furious. And we're going to go over to Godiva and her friends at the Star Trek Happy Hour, and you can learn how to potentially join them and have some fun.
This is Godiva Lee with KBOO Portland. Get Trekked.
I'm John Irvin.
I'm Chris Trump.
I'm Lou Torres with Vancouver Star Trek Happy Hour.
All right! Cheers, everybody.
What kind of show?
Mm-hmm. Any excuse for me to get drunk? I'm on the radio. Yeah. All right, explain what Star Trek Happy Hour is.
It's a monthly happy hour, and we do it typically, it's every month, but 2 months in a row, usually in Vancouver, and then the third month we'll find a spot in Portland. Try to find a different bar each month, and we're not all in costume. If you walked into a bar that we were at, you really wouldn't be able to tell right away that we were a bunch of Trekkies.
if you tried to chat one of us up, and then we were just like, have you seen Star Trek? I love Star Trek.
Just listen to the conversation, you probably get it pretty quick, but... just walking in, everyone's in, you know, your normal clothes. And just a bunch of people.
My normal clothes are Star Trek.
Fair enough.
For the Star Trek bar crawl, which was the first one that I went to, everybody dressed up for that. That was the first thing I ever went to. I think that's how I got into it.
That's where we met you.
Yeah.
That is part of Northwest Star Trek Week, so which is an offshoot. Vancouver Star Trek Happy Hour started a little over a year ago. Basically, I used to go to Star Trek Las Vegas a lot. As great as all those panels are and seeing all the guests and everything, my favorite part was at the end of the night going to the Masquerade Bar.
Yes.
And it's packed with all these people dressed like Klingons and Orion slave girls and slave boys and confused looking tourists walking past. They're like, what the hell's going on?
Did you ever do the bar hop looking for celebrities where you would go to Ibar and then back to Masquerade? Then
oh,
back
yeah.
To
like
Ibar.
Hoping
Did you see
like,
Casey's
it's
over
like,
there?
There he is. It's like, they're on the elevator. Go! I really missed that coming, you know, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to just do that once a year.
You guys talking shit about Casey over there?
Yeah. It's like, of course Casey's at the bar.
Shit, we're all talking shit.
Oh, and the Dominic Keating. What the hell are you saying about
me? Is Dominic Keating the horny one?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Okay, so that section's getting, yeah.
No,
yeah.
Oh no, I'm keeping that. I'm definitely keeping that. All right, so we saw what my first Star Trek happy hour was. Yeah, how'd you get into it?
I actually don't remember which one was my first Star Trek happy hour. I didn't drink that much. That was a successful one. No, so I'd been to Star Trek Las Vegas a few times, and as I was on the unofficial Facebook page, I'm just browsing through it in my feed, and I see, oh, hey, I'm doing the Star Trek happy hour. I'm like, oh, that's a cool idea. And then I see it's in Vancouver, Washington. I'm like, really? Like, this international page, and somebody posted something, and it's not even Portland. It's Vancouver. Like, that's where I live.
That's what got me hooked, too, because I was living in Vancouver at the time. You Something's know, happening
super,
out here.
Super excited that something actually applied to me. Joined the group and showed up. Been to the Star Trek Las Vegas, but I never got to experience the Masquerade Bar in the way that Lou did. And so this was my way of having that socialization, especially as the convention becomes cost prohibitive to be able to do that at home and regularly and to build those bonds. It's just been a really fantastic experience.
What about you, John?
You made me go to one about a month ago. That was the first one I ever went to.
November was your first one.
That's right, November. I really like it. There's people there that like Star Trek.
Yeah.
We were talking about that right before the show. A lot of times now when you go, for people who are new, for some they go, yeah, if you're into Star Trek, you have an opportunity to start a discussion with a bunch of people you don't know. You know, really the last few happy hours, I'm not really talking much about episodes too much. I mean, that conversation's going on around me because you know so many people, and it's been just over a year now, that you're catching up on what people are doing, you know. You're actually becoming friends.
Yeah. In the last show, that's pretty much how I know all of my friends, is through some Star Trek-related thing. And, like, it's not like we just sit around and obsess about Star Trek, but that's just how we met, right. Which I think is fucking cool.
Very true with me. Pretty much all of my life is because of people I've met in Star Trek.
That's how we started hanging out. Yeah,
that's right.
We were at Pop Tavern. Tim was like, hey, you like Star Trek? This dude likes Star Trek. Well, hello, other fellow that likes Star Trek. But who's your captain?
Janeway is my captain.
Janeway.
Picard.
I got
no hair.
You can relate. That's sweet.
Picard because he's a manager.
There you go.
I like that.
I'm with Sisko because of daddy issues.
Nobody said Kirk?
Oh my God. Everyone
blasphemy.
I think seriously. We need to walk in pairs to our cars when we leave.
There's angry Trekkies staring at us through the windows like, how dare you?
How dare you?
Yeah, he's okay. He was my captain for a really long time, but I only ever watched the original series.
I'll say this.
10 years, and then...
I'll rank him above Lorca.
Yep. Well, I mean...
Well, Lorca. Which Lorca?
Mirror Universe Lorca?
Yeah. The evil Lorca, or the one we haven't met yet?
Hey. So, how did you get into Star Trek, Lou?
Growing up, I mean, I've always been a big reader. Mystery, whodunits, and all that. And novels, and history, and science fiction. I've always liked Star Trek. And Star Wars, and Battlestar Galactica, and Space 1999, and all of it. But I really wouldn't have ever called myself a Trekkie, which is odd because I run Star Trek Happy Hour group now, and I have all these Star Trek costumes in my closet, and I go to Star Trek conventions, and I don't do that for anything else. But what happened is a few years ago, now, for those listeners who don't know, I'm gay. Now,
anyway,
yes, you're saying. So when I was single, I had a ton of friends, and we were always going out all the time. If you've ever been out to a gay bar, there's an argument to be made that gay bars are generally singles bars. Right? Hmm. Okay. So, and not that everyone there is single or looking, but it's definitely, if you're gay and you are looking, you would go to a gay bar. That's an easiest opportunity for you to meet someone else.
In most cities,
is true. All my friends, you know, that was our social scene. We were going out to gay bars all the time. So I got into a relationship. Suddenly, I was like, I don't know, I just don't really want to... I'd love to hang out more with my friends, but not every Friday and Saturday night in a gay bar, because I wasn't really into it anymore. I ended up being more of a home buddy, and my other half was like, you know, you had such a big social life. Now, like, we're just hanging around.
Get the fuck out of the house.
Get the fuck out. I got a vacuum. So I was on Facebook. Someone was starting a Star Trek club, so he was starting one in Phoenix. So he's like, hey, do you want to be in my... I had never met him before. But he's like, do you want to be in... It's a Phoenix I was living in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. Do you want to be on this ship? And I go, sure, why not? He goes, great, let's go and meet. And so I went over, and it was just me and him. And we went to and the first, like, our little away mission, as they called it, was to a Doctor Who festival. So oh, it's like, cool. So we're like hanging around, and he's like actually in a full costume, and I had a TOS uniform. I had nothing. I had like a t-shirt and jeans. I'm like, I felt like an idiot. I felt like it wasn't an idiot because people were saying, oh, you're a Trekkie. I'm like, it's because I didn't know much about any of the episodes. And also I'm like, I don't have the clothes. And I mentioned before I'm gay, right?
So, I think so, yeah.
I was like, I need some outfits. So I started buying like the shirts and the, you know, the pants, the jacket, the, you know, TOS. I'm like, oh, now I need an Enterprise. And going to conventions, I was meeting more and more people because they knew the stuff. I started watching it again. As I started rewatching it, as much as I love all science fiction, Star Trek, I realized how positive it was. That there's all this dystopian stuff and science fiction stuff, and that's entertaining and great and interesting. But that I would rewatch Star Trek over and over again because it made me feel good with the idea that, especially when things are troubled, for instance, our current political situation, that we can be better. Like, celebrate diversity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can all work together. We can overcome all these petty little differences that we have. And then we will get out there into the stars. And I love that idea. And then the costumes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, what about you? The reason I kind of got into Star Trek is Sue formed a Star Trek club in my junior high school. And I started going there, having a good time. Because I liked Star Trek before then, but I wasn't part of the Star Trek universe so much. She did that, and then I expanded and made it a citywide club. And I've been going to conventions and meeting people and having fun ever since.
Well, I got into Star Trek. Next Generation came out when I was about 6 years old. And
she's young.
After I got past the I want to be a paleontologist phase, I wanted to be an astronaut. And so much so, I actually went to space camp. So Star Trek was, my parents let me watch it when it first came out. And I didn't see all the episodes because I'm freaking 6 years old. So I had to catch a lot of them in syndication. But it's always kind of been a part of my life growing up. And particularly, you know, I'm growing up and, you know, all of the other kids in school, like, they know, you know, baseball and football and sports. And, like, I didn't even know that you could sink a basket and get 3 points. Like, that was just weird to me. Like, you should get 1 point. Like, none of that made sense to me. I knew nothing about sports. But here's this show that's in space and exploring. And also, I don't have good eyesight. I've got glasses. And that was something I was self-conscious about. And here you've got this Geordi LaForge. He's the engineer, and he's saving the ship, and he does that little roll underneath the door as it's closing down, which looked a lot cooler when you're 6 years old than when it does now in reruns. But
Did you try to practice it?
Oh, you know I did. You know it. And I had the little metal die-cast Enterprise with the saucer separation, and I played with that as a kid, flying around the house. And every room in my house was a different sector I was exploring. But
did you steal the barrettes to try and make the visors?
I'm sure I did. I'm sure I did something.
I have to say, when you were saying about the rolling, I could totally imagine you doing that, and then standing up in like a Christmas story with your glasses broken and being like, my mom's gonna kill me.
I remember we had a two-story house, and so like I'd get in the stairs and I'd like get on the bottom of the stairs and I'd turn like you would in an elevator, and I'd make the little sound, and then I'd walk up the stairs at the top like the stairs were the turbo lift in my house. And so I've always grown up with it. And then later on, you know, I got into Battlestar Galactica, caught up on the 1980 BSG and all the other sci-fis. But Star Trek itself really shaped me, and I'm still learning to this day how much of an impact that had on me. As you get into the more the current political climate, where you're talking about gay rights and trans rights and all those things, and the transphobia, and I think to myself, why do I so easily adapt? There's a meme I'm sure many of us have seen where the Klingon, I don't remember if it's Kor, he's like, oh, Curzon, my friend, and Jadzia says, I'm Jadzia now, and he says, Jadzia, my friend.
But it's that easy.
Yeah, like, why is it that so easy for me? And I really actually attest that to Star Trek, where you had a different alien of the week every week. I just think that it really speaks, you know, anybody who grew up with the original series talks about, you know, we had difficult times and it gave us hope. And I look back on the Next Generation growing up with that, and I see how that taught me diversity in a way that I don't think I would have gotten any other way. So Balance of Terror, like you had just good story and good suspense. And although you had, for the time, a lot of good special effects, it was just good story writing. And it reminds me later of The Wrath of Khan, where you've got the tall ships thing going on, and it was strategy and it was suspense, and the slow motion actually made it gripping. And nowadays, I'm gonna go to Nemesis, which was a horrible storyline with fantastic special effects. And nowadays we sacrifice so much for flashiness, JJ movies.
Get off my lawn!
That you know, I miss the good stories, and
yeah,
like just give me a story. Like we're talking about whether or not we can afford the actors, because we've got $5 million CGI shots, and it's like, just ditch the CGI shot and give me a damn story.
I love big battle scenes and sci-fi.
I am a horn dog for starships. Favorite starships. I love that shit, but come on.
I want a 3-hour operatic space battle that like I've never seen before.
If there's strategy in it, fuck yeah.
No, the strategy can be in hours 1 and 5.
Loser imagine
Star Trek. I just want to see explosions. By the way, I hate Michael Bay.
I was going to say, I don't want Star Trek to become a Transformers movie where you're just bored of shit blowing up.
No, I get it. And I'm joking. Of course, I don't want 3 hours straight of that. But, I mean, I do like
it. Are you joking?
I do like it.
Are you joking?
Man, I just love a big, like, Battlestar Galactica, Star Wars, Dominion style.
That was one of the best little group of episodes of Deep Space Nine. That battle. Wow, that was great.
Well, I think it worked out so well for him. I'm mostly Deep Space Nine. Obviously, my captain is Sisko. Voyager was the flagship of UPN. Like,
It launched it.
And it was the only show that was doing good on it, besides like a few like cult classics here and there.
For those for the younger in the audience, UPN is a defunct network. Well, it's now the CW.
And for the even younger fans, a network is a channel on the cable TV.
There was UPN and the network.
Well, actually, for the younger, TV
is... There was UPN and the WB, and they merged to join the CW.
Okay, there you go.
Voyager was like the one that every like the producers and the showrunners cared about. And so they gave a shit about Deep Space Nine for maybe the first 2 or 3 seasons. And it's that game Telephone that you hear it at a convention from Ira, and then you retell it and somebody else retells it. But from what I remember him saying at the con is, Deep Space Nine's 3rd season, they put all of their focus into Voyager, the new show, to launch this new network. And then they kind of didn't pay as much attention to Deep Space Nine. So they had the shticky Star Trek episodes for those seasons. And then they were figuring out how they wanted it to grow. And it kind of formed into like, and then you've got the characters. And then you've got this epic battle adventure that they're like, this is it. This is the direction we want to go in.
Which was the greatest story arc in all of Star Trek. Because it was actually a story arc.
They really finally had the freedom to copy Babylon 5 the way they wanted to.
You are the third person to say this on my podcast. Get out of my house.
Oh my god. You liar. You listened to her podcast and research before you got here.
She did.
Stupid.
Thanks, Chris.
No, I agree. The less the producers get into the show, the better the show's got. Too many cooks in the kitchen, just freaking back off, give them money, and let the writers do what they do, like what you hired them for. But when I watched The Orville, I think this is what TOS was in the 60s. You've got cheesy special effects, you've got in-your-face, blatant, hit-you-over-the-head morals, but it's taught and it's shown in a good way, it's done well, you get what they're doing, and it's just told well.
It is.
Yeah.
It's obvious what they're doing, but they tell it well.
Right.
And they're not afraid to go after the...
In bright primary colors.
Yes. Exactly. And I wish Star Trek had done that.
You know what it always reminds me of, The Orville, is do you guys watch that show Robot Chicken?
Oh yeah.
You know that one skit where it's like the morning crew, Picard and Worf, and everybody is like, "Oh, we're done. We pulled our shift."
Yeah, and then the late shift.
Like, all right, I can't remember his name. Is like, "All right, Captain Chad, thanks for taking the night shift." And like Captain Chad comes on, and he's got like a popped collar or some stupid shit. And they're like, "Hey, Romulan vessel, dude, what should we do? Let's party it to death." That's what the Orville reminds me of, is Captain Chad kind of bullshitting his way through space. The night crew.
But I love Bortus, by the way.
Bortus?
Right? I mean, that whole character, that whole thing.
Who wouldn't have guessed that of you?
I know, right?
You waited
a whole episode, and then you don't see a stream. At least Discovery went there.
A what?
Did we get to see somebody pee in Discovery?
Oh, yeah. I see what
okay,
you mean,
season
right,
one spoilers, dual streams. You didn't see that?
What?
In season one?
Last episode of Discovery, season one.
They talked about it on the cruise. Oh, you guys weren't there.
We were there.
Someone's got money. You don't deserve that.
Give me that chip back.
Give me that potato chip back.
Oh, the Klingon?
Yeah.
I don't know what Klingon is.
Which really just makes you wonder about female anatomy at that point.
Yeah. They made a canon in Discovery. No, okay.
There's a dude pissing on a wall, and there's two streams.
If anybody looks at my Google searches and they see, why are you Googling?
Hey, wait a second. Is that all you're going? Wait, time out. Is that all you're going by? That it's two streams?
No, they.
Because maybe there's two holes in one penis.
They did say on stage that is canon.
Oh, they did on the cruise.
Was that on the cruise?
Yes, on the cruise.
Well, then, okay.
That's soft canon in my book.
Or is it hard canon?
There was... Okay.
I'm not going to leave.
Apparently, there's two canons.
I'm not touching that one. Says the guy who wants proof.
Do you want to see a video of a Klingon peeing?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's...
Who doesn't want to see that?
Hey, Lou, look at that. The streams.
Oh, no, wait, streams, Lou.
Look at the streams.
Well, I see a hand. And, yeah. Well, okay.
How long did it take us to devolve into, like
Klingon penises?
Penises and, yeah.
I'm really good at dissuading the conversation.
Well, and you know that penis is ripped for pleasure.
God, poor Jadzia. Or lucky Jadzia.
Okay, no, you know, though, when they confirmed
Well, she already knew, because Curzon seen one. You know that.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
When they confirm that Klingons had two dicks, it brings a whole new meaning to the conversation that Worf has with Guinan.
That's what I was about to tell you. Yeah! That these women can take it.
No woman can take having sex with
the human woman. That would be
I
too
want
difficult.
Guinan to be like, let me show you some fan fiction from Earth's history, and you will see that Earth woman can indeed take it. Okay.
Gonna have a whole new perspective.
Oh, Gen Z is having fun. I'm happy for her. Shit, okay, yeah. We should talk about what direction is the Star Trek Happy Hour going in?
Well,
what direction are we going in? North. I haven't done my homework.
That's all good. It's a labor of love.
It is a labor of love. No, so Northwest Star Trek Week, so November was our one-year anniversary. That's November 2018. So we're
heading into season two. In about two more years, we'll actually get good.
A lot of surprises with Vancouver Star Trek Happy Hour itself. And so, okay, so by the way, we're on meetup.com and on Facebook. And Facebook is kind of where most of the new members are joining and where most of the information sharing is going on. But if you are anti-Facebook or you're not on Facebook, meetup.com, you can go there. We are on there also. Okay, so every month I've been picking a place to have a happy hour, and I try to theme it. For instance, in March, tomorrow, actually, I'm going to scout out Irish bars. Hold on a second. Chris has something.
If you happen to be a bar owner listening to this, just opportunity. Just throw that.
Please.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, please, give me freebies. So actually tomorrow I'm going to be scouting out some Irish bars in Portland for March's happy hour, since it's St. Patrick's Day month, and so for our return to Fairhaven, which do you know anyone who knows Voyager should know what Fairhaven is. So that'll be that happy hour. But so we've been doing that for a year. Now I'm trying to get, and I've been telling everyone, it's like, hey, so I post that on Facebook and Meetup. One day, I would like our members to do any other event. I don't care if it's like hey, you want to meet for bowling or dinner at my house, whatever, and I will post that too. So ideally, we'll start having two events. One happy hour and one
call those away other version.
Away mission!
That's right. Well, there is one. Actually, for February, we have our happy hour. Happy hour in February will be at the Low Bar, and it's our Lower Decks Appreciation Day.
Woo!
And we ask that great people bring episode. A can or that two is, of... It is a great
that's
episode.
That's my favorite episode, TNG, I'm not going to lie.
That is one of my... Yeah, I think it's brilliantly it's how they did it, yeah. But we're asking people to bring a can or two of food, and that will go to a homeless shelter. The offshoot of Vancouver Star Trek Happy Hour, because that's every month. We started last year doing Northwest Star Trek Week, which... Northwest Star Trek Week, you said... People would ask what that was, and I said, I would be like, oh, it's a deconstructed con. Instead of, like, going to one location, and you pay one fee, and there's all these panels and everything, instead, there's, like, different events at different locations throughout Portland and Vancouver for the whole week, and you pay, instead of one fee for everything, it's a la carte. You pay, like, whatever you want to, because each event is independently run. Now I just say it's a festival because that's a lot easier. And
yay! You know, Star Trek Festival.
It's a Star Trek Festival for Portland and Vancouver, and we're making it an annual thing. So we just had actually our planning mixer for it last week for 2019, and we announced the dates, which are, Chris, remind me, it's
mid-September.
Saturday. Oh, good job. Yeah,
it's because September 6th through 15th.
Thank you. See?
Okay. I thought it was a week, though.
It's 10 days, actually. It's 10 days.
Oh, okay, that's
our
what
week
threw me
is
off.
Star. It's like a star date week. It's 10 days, actually, not 7 days.
There's some time dilation in there.
Yeah. So it includes Star Trek Day, which is always September 8th, Rose City Comic Con, which is the last 3 days of it.
You did a panel there last year, right?
We did. We did a panel. We had a booth all 3 days. It's independently run event. We're the members of Vancouver Star Trek Happy Hour, and now the members. We're volunteering for Northwest Star Trek Week. We don't run any of the events. We don't manage them or anything. All we're doing is promoting events.
Oh.
So as I tell people, if, like, let's say you have a cooking school or you're trying to get your cooking school off the ground. And it's like, well, I'd like to do an event. I would like to do, I'm a big vegetarian chef. So how about if I do a Vulcan cooking 101 and I'll do a cooking class that day. It's like, great, let's talk about it. We'll figure out when we can fit you in the schedule and we'll promote it. We have a website, StarTrekWeek.com. We have Facebook and Twitter. So we're trying to grow it. And it's a labor of love. We don't charge anyone who wants to be part of it.
We're basically the idea people, and we just beg companies to do some sort of nerdy event to create a festival.
Yeah, we had like the Hollywood Theater showed The Wrath of Khan last year, Barnes & Noble.
That was a great
had a science lecture with Dr. Ethan Siegel.
Oh.
With Northwest Star Trek Week, a couple things about that is that, one, not only is it independently run events, but we want to encourage how I ended up falling in love with Star Trek, which was the celebration of being progressive, the celebration of diversity, celebration of science. And so, we had like a bar crawl last year. We're probably going to have one this year. I mean, we want to have fun events. Over time, we do want to start gearing things more and more to having like things that really showcase our diversity here in Portland and Vancouver and the Northwest and science. Because I think that politically, science is getting a lot of short shrift lately.
We're trying to get bigger.
We're trying to get bigger so we can get sponsors because we would like to have charitable events that we can raise money for progressive causes and science-related causes. So,
what's going on in your heads? Why are you taking your free time and donating it to this random
Star Trek group?
Well, that's a good question. God, honestly, it sounded like fun. So the other group I volunteer with is Science on Tap, and it's the crew that helped founded OMSI Science Pub, which is also a good program where, you just, funny enough, again, it's science and alcohol. And so I guess that's just a theme for me.
Cheers!
Drink. So, historically, over the last several years, I've just really enjoyed being able to mix my enthusiasm for consumption of ethanol with learning. Synthahol, yes.
Excuse me.
Sit corrected. Just continuing to learn, continuing my fascination with upcoming technologies and every round from genetics to astronomy to how PDX keeps planes from hitting birds was a really fascinating one. And so this is really just a continuation of being social, meeting other people who are interested in the same things as myself, and then building the community. And I think at some point when you become attached enough to your community and involved with it enough, at some point you see that you can do some good, give back, and you see opportunity. Crap. I showed up to Star Trek Happy Hour because I wanted to drink and talk Star Trek. But as we've talked a year later, when somebody says, hey, Chris, we've got a panel at Rose City Comic Con. Do you want to talk on it? Yeah. And then, hey, do you want to get tipsy and talk Star Trek on a podcast? I'm not going to say no.
Hey.
And so, you know, when you get big enough and organized enough and you have enough resources, enough people are just like, yeah, you know, I can donate a couple of hours. What do you need? Or it's like, what can you do with this resource?
Mm-hmm.
Can you run a canned food drive? Can you donate a few hours to something in your community to give back a little bit? Suddenly you see the possibilities. And again, thinking back to Star Trek, and we're talking about being progressive, the good that you can do, you know, what can you do with that? And it's just a natural compulsion to try and do something constructive.
God damn, you said it.
Yeah.
What he said.
What am I going to ask?
Could not have said it better. That was perfect. That was really wonderful.
So that was Lou speaking. Chris, do you want to say anything?
What Lou said.
Cheers, oh, cheers. Man. Yeah, really, it's just like, it's all having a good time. That's the Star Trek happy hour ideas. That's our fucking idea of it, is you watch Star Trek, you love it, you want to help people and make the world better, you build a community. Community is about educating yourself and growing and helping other people, and mm-hmm. that I feel like... if you can get drunk half the time and then also help people the other half the time, then by all means.
Would you say it's the best of both worlds?
No.
Frack you.
I'm trying to think of how I'm supposed to end the show, which I should know, but do I?
A jingle? Na 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 na.
You are with me, Godiva Lee, listening to KBO Portland.
Come on, people. Yeah, fuckers. Wow, that Godiva Lee really knows her stuff.
But yeah, he did brag about having two penises.
Oh, he did.
Well, that's it for us this time around. I'm Josette Detour, and you can get tracked. See you next time.